I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time now for our Africa update. This week, some African nations say no to AFRICOM, the United States' new military command in Africa. Plus, Israel decides to close its doors to refugee from the war-torn Darfur region of Sudan. And United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon visits Sudan for the first time. For more, we've got Bill Fletcher, the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the program.
Well, thanks for coming on. And let's start with AFRICOM. It's a new controversial military hub in Africa. And the Southern African Development Community, or SADC, says none of its members will allow U.S. forces in their borders. Now, that organization has 14 member countries. But the Liberian president says AFRICOM is welcome in her country. So tell me about AFRICOM's role on the continent. What's the purpose?
The AFRICOM actually is in the process of development right now, but it's basically a reorganization of U.S. military operations as well as some non-military operations for the continent. The stated or ostensibly the purpose of AFRICOM is humanitarian, but very few people believe that to be actually the case.
Now, that sounds like it sounds a bit ominous to say few people believe that's the case. Is there going to be a widespread rebellion against AFRICOM's role by various African nations?
I think we're seeing it already. I mean, what we have to look at is that since 9/11, there has been an increase in the U.S. military presence in Africa. And at a point when Africa needs non-military solutions to their problems. But we've seen the Trans-Sahel military initiative, and we've seen greater U.S. interest in protection of the oil regions, particularly in the Gulf of Guinea. And so most people tend to think, or most knowledgeable observers tend to think that AFRICOM is primarily about securing oil and other natural resources.
Now, I want to move on to another topic just because there's so much to talk about. Israel has faced a lot of criticism over its recent decision to turn back new refugees from Sudan. And the country's responded by saying it's going to turn away all foreign refugees, not just the ones from Sudan, that solving the Darfur crisis as well as harboring those affected by it should be a global effort. Is Israel being targeted unfairly for doing what a lot of countries also do, which is just not taking in new refugees?
No, I don't think that they're being targeted unfairly at all. I think that on the one hand, the international community does need to step up to the plate to help the Darfur refugees. But I think that we have to understand that we're talking about refugees from a genocide. It was in 1939 that a ship with Jewish refugees from Europe was turned away by the United States, turned away and forced to return to Europe, where many of the refugees subsequently perished in concentration camps. So I think that there is a particular moral obligation that Israel has to the victims of a genocide.
So this is a case where you think that the specific history of this nation, which was in fact constructed to provide a haven for the world's Jews after the genocide of the Holocaust, is one that creates a special set of circumstances. Some people, and I bring that up because recently we had a conversation about The Devil Came on Horseback, and there was an argument made, well, maybe Black Americans need to step up for Darfur because there is this common African ancestry. I mean, couldn't this play out in many different ways?
Well, it can. And actually, I do think that Black Americans should step further forward on Darfur. But I think that it's very difficult for one to argue that Europe and the United States turned their backs on Jewish refugees who were on the verge of annihilation by the Nazis, only to say that, well, you know, we have these refugees from Darfur. Yeah, maybe there's a genocide. No, we have to close our borders. What's the difference?
Well, I want to stay with the issue of Darfur. This week, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is visiting Sudan, including Darfur, and he's scheduled to meet with the Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir in Khartoum. Is this a dramatic step forward in dealing with this ongoing genocide?
I'm not sure whether it's dramatic, but it's definitely important. And I applaud the Secretary General for making this trip. And I'm hoping that what this represents is further pressure on the al-Bashir government which they need to feel. They've been feeling pressure from a number of their trading partners. They've been feeling some pressure from China. They need to feel the pressure of the international community, but it's not just the al-Bashir government that needs to feel the pressure. All the parties need to understand that the situation in Darfur cannot be resolved militarily.
Now, when you talk about the issues of commerce, you can also talk about China's role in propping up the Sudan. Is that the lever, or is the lever to change things military, a UN-African Union hybrid force?
Actually, I think it's both. I think that there's no question in my mind but that there needs to be an AU-dominated force in Darfur for peacekeeping operations that has a clear mandate to take steps to defend the population against genocide. There's absolutely no question about that. But by itself, that's not enough. In addition, there needs to be the economic pressure on the al-Bashir government, which we were just discussing, but there also needs to be the honest broker. That is, there needs to be that party that can bring the different forces together in order to come to a political settlement.
Finally, do you think the African Union troops, which have themselves been underfunded and sometimes under-resourced to the point where they barely even have enough supplies, can they really step up to this issue?
I think that they cannot without further outside assistance. And by that, I do not mean outside troops. One of my biggest criticisms of the United States and the Bush administration is that it should be the force, rather than threatening no-fly zones and other things, to provide the financial and logistical support to the AU to make it possible for African troops to intervene to play a role in resolving an African problem.
Well, Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Bill Fletcher is a writer and former president of Trans-Africa Forum, and he spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.